Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're going to find out that that is so, so true. I mean, we're all on the same page. That is just amazing. And thank you, Andrea, also. I know it was a long reading. You went through it. Great job. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that very much. The what? I see Shirley's mother. I keep trying to remember Shirley's mother's name because you always call her Shirley's mother. And right before the worship service, I asked her, I said, I know you're Shirley's mother, but I can't remember your name. She told me, but I don't remember it, so it's Shirley's mother, all right? Just call her Shirley's mother. She'll know who she's talking about. That's, you know. But wow, you guys were incredible. That was just wonderful. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all. Amen. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, so, but they kind of messed up my segue, okay? Because I was using the word incredible, all right? Because I'm getting ready to talk about the movie Incredibles. See? See how that works? All right, so now we got to get back on that horse, all right? So we are on Incredibles because I want to talk about Incredible 2, the movie. How many of you have seen Incredibles 2? All right, yes. Ha! We went as a whole family Father's Day weekend. It was great. Nothing like waiting 14 years for the sequel to come out. It was worth it. And in case you didn't know, Incredibles 2, Elastigirl has a much bigger role in Incredibles 2. I don't want to give you any spoilers or anything, but she has a bigger role, which is kind of nice because if you'll notice, there's Iron Man and Superman and, you know, and Captain America. You don't have a whole lot of women superheroes in the movie. And Wonder Woman, but that was a weak movie. That was not. Our Wonder Woman is way better than that movie was. That was, you know, but... But I was thinking that in the Bible, there are a lot of superhero women. Have you noticed that? How many times they're in the Bible? And you know that they're superhero women because they keep their secret identity. So many times they're not named. We don't know their names. And yet, there they are. Wonderful. And they're heroes not because they're of some kind of special ability, not because they're super strong, but because of the strength of their faith. I'm thinking right now, in fact, right before the worship service, I was given a gift about the widow's mite. You know that story. Do you know her name? No, she's not named. She's not named, but you know her story. A woman whose faith was so strong, she trusted God with her whole possession. Or another widow, also not named, the persistent widow, remember that? Takes on a judge, knocking on his door, following him wherever he goes, into Kmart, into McDonald's, just going on, just won't, and it just drives him crazy. Or what about the woman who takes on Jesus? Do you remember that? Remember that story about the dogs and the crumbs underneath the table? That's a troubling tale, but she takes Jesus on. Or we have this woman here. We don't know her name. We don't know her name. But we know her story. Our story opens with having Jesus just crossed the lake. He's now on the Jewish side of the lake. And he's over there. But this is more than just about Jesus crossing a lake. This is about crossing boundaries. It's about crossing boundaries. Our story opens up. There's a crowd there along the sea. There's Jesus. And then the leader of the synagogue arrives, Jairus. And he falls at Jesus' feet. And he's repeatedly begging her, heal my daughter. Heal my little girl. Please, please, please. She's so sick. She's dying. Please help her. Please help her. And Jesus goes. He doesn't say a word. He just starts going. And the crowd's going with Jesus. Going with Jairus. Going to go see. And we're thinking everything's going to work out okay. I mean, the prayer is right. the purpose is worthy, we have every right to expect a very favorable outcome to how this is all going to end up. Prospect of healing and life restored. And then, this woman comes along. Where the heck did she come from? And she interrupts the story. She interrupts our expectation. We're all looking forward to Jesus going to the little girl, and he's going to make her all better. That's a good story. Why can't we just have that story? That's what we're expecting. That's what we want. But this woman comes in, and it interrupts the whole thing. And it's not a brief interruption. Did you hear that? All that Andrea had to read? Did you hear her? It's not a brief interruption at all. It's not like, oh, and there was a sick woman and she got better. No. We get her whole story. Did you hear that? We get her entire medical history. All right? It's 12 years worth of medical history. And not only do we get all of her medical history, we get all of her financial history, all right? And they go through all of that, and all the physicians, and all of that, and just going on, and what she's thinking in her head, and what she's going to do, and it just kind of strains your patience, because, hello, there's a little girl, and she needs Jesus. But this woman needs Jesus, too. Is anybody here that doesn't need Jesus? We all need Jesus. It's just some of us are a little bit more honest about it. Some of us are a little bit more open about it. Now, I need to tell you, if you don't know, that whole bleeding thing talks about uncleanliness and all of that. If you're familiar with the Bible, you know that in Leviticus, in chapter 15, they lay out all these rules and laws. And it's not supposed to just, you know, it's not done out of meanness, but they have these safeguards. It's just kind of in common sense that if a body is oozing, if a body is flaking, if a body is bleeding, if a body is dead, don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's like cooties on steroids. Don't touch it because it's going to be what? Contagious. And you could catch it or you could spread it. So you're not supposed to touch it. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. But in our story, this woman is not defined by her bleeding. She's defined by her boldness. Her boldness. See, the English translation kind of covers it up. It obscures the dramatic way in which the story is being told because there's a string of participles going on here. And so a more literal reading would be like this. And a woman, having been bleeding for 12 years, and having suffered greatly from many physicians, and having spent all she had, and having benefited not one bit, having not gone from bad to worse, having heard about Jesus, and having come to the crowd from behind, touched his robe. Are you catching all of that? That is a whole lot of momentum. Touches his robe. And what happens? Jesus stops. The whole procession's going on. Jesus stops. Stop! A lot of people were touching Jesus. She's the only one who made contact. See, there's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference between touching and making contact. She didn't make eye contact. She didn't make physical contact. She touched his robe. But she made contact. Now, touching the robe healed her bleeding. But it's the words of Jesus that healed her soul. Amen. Made her healthy, made her whole. He calls her daughter. And with that simple word, she's no longer anonymous. She's no longer stranger. She's no longer other. Now she's in a relationship. Jesus has claimed kinship with this woman. He has said, daughter. And in that word, she is restored not just physically, but within the community. He has restored her completely. You see, there is a bleeding that is ravaging humanity. I know that you know about it. You see it on the news. You hear about it in the paper. People separating and isolating. And here comes Jesus. And with the word, he reminds us to cross the boundary from what is to what should be. That's the boundary that needs to be crossed. From what is to what should be. This story is not yet over. As Jesus is talking, people come up and they say, "Hey, your daughter's dead." And did you hear how they tell him? They don't like take him to the side and say, "I've got some troubling news." No, 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 no. They say, "Your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? What hope is left? It's too late." That's why I was just empowered with that song over there. Because Jesus reminds Jairus to let go of fear, hold on to faith. Because you know that song. You know that song. God may not come when you call him. You know that song, but he'll be there right on time.
Amen.
All right? God may not come when we call him, but he'll be there right on time. God doesn't come when we call him, but he'll be there right on time. This past week, had an opportunity. Sure, one of our members gave me that line. God may not be. God may not be there when you call him, but he'll be there right on time. Faith is not dependent upon situations or circumstances. It's based on trust. Now, of course, it's Jesus and it's a little girl, so we know that the story is going to end up okay. We know it's going to end up well. Jesus, though, as you see this, crosses boundary after boundary after over what is to what should be. He crosses the boundaries of social isolation. He crosses the boundary of death. He is crossing boundary after boundary after boundary. Because he will never leave anybody in the condition in which he finds them. Amen. He will not leave you in the condition that you are. He will change you every time. Parts of us have died. Parts of us have been wounded. And we are forever, forever sometimes hemorrhaging, it seems, in our body, in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. It's difficult. But Jesus breaks down those barriers of exclusion, reminds us that everyone is welcome into God's circle of promise and possibility. See, we say, "Oh, we don't put people in cages and we get mad at the TV or something." But don't we, aren't we guilty of putting people in boxes? You ever find yourself judging, putting people in this box, putting people in that box, putting that? We may not put them in cages, but we put them in boxes. And here comes Jesus. He's crossing all the boundaries. He crosses boundaries of sin. He crosses boundaries of death. Bring us healing and grace. Jesus crosses boundaries, the cultural boundaries, the political boundaries, the ethnic boundaries, the gender boundaries, the religious boundaries, the social boundaries. Jesus does it. And if we're going to follow Jesus, then we're going to have to cross them too. We have to cross the boundaries with Jesus in order to bring God's grace, God's healing to all of God's children so that they can be renamed and reclaimed as God's sons and God's daughters. That's what we do. That's what we do. Jesus does not become unclean by being with unclean people. He takes unclean people and makes them clean. Jesus isn't brought down by downtrodden people. He lifts them up. Jesus isn't broken by broken people. He makes them whole. Jesus doesn't become a sinner by being with sinner. He brings redemption to us all. We don't bring Jesus down to our level. He lifts us up to his. His grace transforms us. It heals us. It makes us whole. Jesus' holiness transcends our uncleanliness. And we are transformed. We are forgiven. We may not be Elastigirl, but we can reach across things that would divide us. Reach out with kindness, with hope, with love, with grace. We build a relationship. We build a bridge. We build healing and hope and love and trust. And when we do, we're building the kingdom of God. Amen.